God has appointed men as leaders in the home and in the church. After Adam and Eve sinned, God appointed the husband as leader in the home. To the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Genesis 3, verse 16. The leadership position of men in the church is supported by Paul in this way: "For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression." 1 Timothy 2, verses 13 and 14. Thus, God's appointment of men as leaders is based on the order of creation, number one, and on the fall, number two, not on temporary cultural circumstances, as is sometimes claimed. The husband is the head of the wife. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24. The head leads the body, but this assumes that the body listens to the head. Otherwise, it is an uncoordinated body, a body that does not function properly. But there is also feedback from the body to the head, to which the head must listen. If the head tells the hand to pick up something hot, the hand lets the head know about it. Providing leadership for your wife is a fascinating challenge and a big responsibility. There are no leaders without followers. Thus, the admonition, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." Colossians 3, verse 18. This is much easier if the husband is obedient to the Lord's command. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Ephesians 5, verse 28. But what if the husband is inadequate? Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. When the husband does not treat his wife and children correctly, godly women can find themselves in extremely difficult circumstances. In such cases, discussing the problem with fellow Christians can be helpful. Peter goes on to say, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. I want to encourage you men to appreciate your wives. The wife does not have an easy position in the family. I appreciate Rita more and more as time goes by, which means that I did not appreciate her enough in the past. We have been married only 48 years, but we have known each other for 63 years since secondary school. It is also good to express your appreciation, which is sometimes hard for men to do. We must not be like the farmer in Carl Sandburg's The People, Yes, who told his wife, "When I think how much you've meant to me all these years, it's almost more than I can do to keep from saying something about it." Let us appreciate and honor our wives. In the family, both the husband and wife provide leadership for the children. Men have been appointed by God as leaders in the church. Jesus, the head of the church, is a man. The 12 apostles are men. Elders and deacons are men, since they must be the husband of one wife. 1 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 12. As leaders in the church, men have a heavy responsibility. Paul told the elders at Ephesus, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Acts 20, verse 28. An elder must hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Titus 1, verse 9. Elders are instructed by Peter, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by constraint, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3. Younger Christians are to submit to their elders. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Some restrictions are placed on women. Women have extremely important tasks in the church. To substantiate God's appointment of men as leaders in the church, however, certain restrictions are placed on the activity of women. In the various passages, we notice three restrictions that will be discussed individually. 1, women are to remain silent in the assembly. 2, they are not to teach men. And 3, they are not to exercise authority over men. Women must remain silent in the assembly. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 34 and 35. This measure applied to all congregations, even though there were differences in customs among Jews, Greeks, and Romans. These passages are not difficult to understand, but they are difficult for some people to accept. Sometimes they are flatly rejected. When a female cleric in Holland was asked what she thought of this passage, she replied, "I wipe my feet on it." Someone who wants to appear to follow the scriptures must resort to evasive, false arguments. Some claim that remain silent here means stay calm, and that speak means speak noisily, and that women may therefore speak if they speak calmly. First, this does not fit the context, since it relates to a difference between men and women. Is it acceptable then for men to speak noisily? Are men then not required to stay calm? Second, anyone who has studied Greek knows that these are the ordinary words for keep silent and speak. See the end notes for more information. Since men are to lead, women may not teach or lead when men are present. To substantiate men's leadership role and to avoid any misunderstanding, women are commanded to be silent in the assembly. This does not apply to singing together, since in that case, women are not exercising leadership or authority, but are following the brother who is leading the congregation. It is wrong, however, for a woman to sing a solo or to be part of a worship team that leads the singing. What about women who prophesied? Philip had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied. Acts 21, verse 9. Paul mentions women who prophesied. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 4 through 10. Some misuse these examples to invalidate the commandment that women must be silent in the assembly. It is never said, however, that women prophesied in the assembly. They who make that claim are not joining the scriptures together, but are tearing the scriptures apart. Several passages must be combined on the basis of what is stated. They may not be brought into conflict by adding something not stated. since women were not permitted to speak in the assembly, their prophesying would have been outside the assembly. Women are not permitted to teach men. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 14. This prohibition underpins the leadership role God has assigned to men. Also, outside the assembly, a woman is not to serve as a teacher of men. This restriction is not violated when a woman teaches women or children. If women are allowed to ask questions and make comments in a mixed Bible study that is not part of the assembly, the study itself must still be led by a man. This certainly does not mean that a man may never learn something from a woman. Apollos is an example of this. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the ways of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Acts 18, verses 24 through 26. Notice that they took him aside, and notice that they explained the way of God to him more accurately. These expressions depict a conversational situation. This passage is sometimes misapplied to appoint a woman or a man and woman together to lead a mixed Bible class. In the case of Apollos, however, there was not a teacher-student relationship. The example of Aquila and Priscilla does show that a Christian couple may invite a preacher into their home and explain the way of the Lord to him more accurately. Many preachers have benefited from such help. Older women teach younger women. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. Women may not exercise authority over men. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. 1 Timothy 2, verse 12. Again, this restriction is simply a consequence of God's appointment of men to lead the church. Leadership is not limited to the assembly. Just as a woman may not teach men, neither may she lead men. For this reason, prayers are led by men in a mixed Bible study, although women join in the discussion. Some try to justify women participating in chain prayers, where they go around the room and everyone says a prayer, by claiming that each one is just saying his own private prayer and is not leading the others. According to Jesus, however, private prayers should be said in private. Matthew 6, verse 6. According to Paul, group prayers should be understandable so amen can be said afterwards. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 15 and 16. The thoughts of the group are being led by the one saying the prayer. Thus, outside the assembly as well, the prayers in a mixed group must be led by men. When a church has elders, decisions are, of course, made by the elders, who are men. When a church does not have elders, since women are not to exercise authority over men, decisions must be made by the men of the congregation. Good leaders discuss decisions beforehand with those being led, which includes getting feedback from women as well as men. Only then can informed decisions be made. Man's leadership is compared to Christ's leadership. This applies both in the home and in the church. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 22. To the church at Corinth, where some women were rebellious, Paul wrote, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Man's leadership does not mean that he may be a tyrant. He himself is under the authority of Christ. His leadership must agree with the Word of God. He has no right to contradict God's Word or to exercise authority that belongs to the Scriptures. In such a case, Peter's explanation to the Jewish leaders would apply. We ought to obey God rather than men. Acts 5, verse 29. Let us respect God's appointments. God has appointed the husband as head of the wife, and men as leaders in the church. As a consequence, women are not to teach men, or not to exercise authority over men, and are not to speak in the assembly. Decisions for the church are made either by the elders, or, if there are none, by the men of the congregation. God has appointed men as leaders in the home and in the church. Amen.